I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, you will find your safe space for independent thinking. Out there is not enough of it in our society. We're going to get to a lot of that in just a second here, but this is a place where you'll find a little something different. We engage that side of the brain where we entertain maybe concepts we haven't thought about before, new ways of looking at things, and that's what you'll get here from 9 to 11 o'clock every day. This is Friday, so as a portion of that I give every Friday is a segment I call False Flag Friday. I'm starting to wonder if I need to retitle that segment because I've done the history of false flags. If you've not ever tuned into the show or haven't heard this segment, you can get my podcast and go back and listen to you. Just go to the Friday shows, typically second hour, 10 to 11 o'clock, and you'll get a history of why this is so important. And that's why I cling to this topic, is because at some point we need to wake up to the manipulation of the masses in each country as staged or allowed events or actual events are manipulated and sold to people in a certain way to elicit a certain fear response that allows us to continue, and particularly when we talk about the United States, the endless wars that we're involved with that are bankrupting future generations. But we're all so darn scared that we allow this to happen. Anyway, I will get to some, maybe it's just foreign policy fails. Friday, you know, I like my alliteration, Friday's foreign policy fails. I could use some other F words in there too with the Friday alliteration, but the FCC disallows that. So anyway, we'll get to some of that news next hour. And also I'll end the show, as I always do, with little nuggets of humor. When we take a look back at the past week on the lunatic left, as long as they keep having debates or conferences, things like that, there's always plenty of stuff to do, and I've got some pretty good clips coming up next hour, too, for a look back at the week on the lunatic left. There's a good piece on the New York Post. It's linked on Drudge Report, and it's talking about the death of adulthood in the United States. I'm going to read a little bit of it because it's something that I've seen, too. Politicians, and this is really going to be on display when we get to the second hour and we take a look back at the lunatic left. The left is especially bad about this, but the right is also guilty. We've infantilized the citizens of the United States. We're treated like children. We beg for help. We look for saviors because we are so helpless. Now, the left is so bad about this. The weakness of the left-wing voter to me is stunning and sad. But I got to tell you, this does cross the political spectrum. I'll read a little bit from this New York Post story, and then I'll tell you an update to the Mike Madison Show. The story says, as a population, it's exotic to the point of extinction, vanishing in plain sight, the American adult. And this just picks out a few different pieces of the story. It's longer than I will read here, but you can see the entire thing on NewYorkPost.com or go to Drudge and you'll find a link to it. A recent front page story in the Wall Street Journal reported on recess for grown-ups, a new industry in which otherwise high-functioning adults pay good money to play dodgeball, kickball, hopscotch, and gorge on grilled cheese and chicken nuggets. Quieter play with Lincoln Logs, Play-Doh, and Silly Putty is also encouraged. There are multiple factors contributing to the death of adulthood, including the last recession, which has retarded the economic and social progress of millennials. As a cohort, they are living with their parents longer, carrying more debt than previous generations, and delaying marriage and home buying. Behind them is Generation Z, which according to the American Psychological Association reports the highest level of stress than any other generation. Gen Z's salve and stressor, social media, which they say can be supportive at 55%, or an anxiety-inducing black hole at 45%. This, it seems, is ground zero for this phenomenon, technology. Email pings and text alerts and likes are turning us into little more than Pavlovian reactors. A study out of London this week finds the average person frustrated if it takes more than 16 seconds to load a web page or 25 seconds for a traffic light to change. Now, you understand this is the behavior of infants. When you don't get your way and you don't get it immediately, you start to pout and you start to sulk and you start to have a little tantrum. And this is kind of where we are. Story goes on. We are losing crucial emotional and mental capacities for self-reflection, for wandering thought, for the ability to tolerate boredom. And that's just the very definition of being a child. All id, out of control, demanding and needy and dependent. It's poisoned our politics and our personhood. The terrible irony is this, only we can fix it. And I got to tell you, it doesn't look to me like we're even attempting it. As I start every show, this is a show about independent thought, rediscovering critical thinking skills that we have given up in favor of this dependency on other people to do our thinking for us. Even on the right, you think we need to send these saviors, these rock-jawed conservatives, and then all we've got to do is show up at the polls every 4 years, and then we just sit back and wait till it's all delivered to us. We do nothing. Now, this is a very, very small gesture, and it was done before this story even came out, but I am already feeling a little bit of benefit from it. Last night, I closed down the Mike Madison Facebook page. I will also probably be exiting on a personal level as well, but I am going to craft some kind of a goodbye letter. I want to make sure people have my email. All of these friends I have, a funny thing is, I've maintained personal relationships, phone calls, lunches, these kinds of things, weekend nights out with majority of the friends that I actually have. You know, we have a core group of actual friends, and then you've got your Facebook friends and acquaintances. I don't dislike anybody on Facebook. And to those of you who follow the Mike Madison Show on Facebook, I really do appreciate it. I appreciate the support of the show. I didn't put a lot of stuff on there. I didn't really add a lot of value to your life. I tried to put some important stuff on there, but I just couldn't do it anymore. I cannot be one of Facebook's customers anymore. I find the corporation creepy. I'll put it that way. I find the fact that I am somehow, in some tacit way, although I spend no money on Facebook, I've never boosted a post on there, which was evident in my followers' numbers and the reach that I had. I've never spent a dollar on there. I don't think I've ever clicked on an ad on Facebook and actually purchased something, which I assume they get a little click fee for or whatever. So I don't think I've supported them financially, but I believe that Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, those two I've never done, are actually damaging society. Now, this should prompt me to put together a website. I would still like to share news, and I don't know if I'll get any traffic to a website because I'm probably not going to pay to boost a website or buy Google AdWords or anything either, but I'll try to have a place that if people stumble across it or if I refer you to a piece on air that I think is an important read and people go to it, you can bookmark my website. You'll know it's out there, but I could no longer participate in the Facebook stuff. And I did kind of struggle with, you know, there's the argument. The reason I've kept it so long is because I think, well, that's where the people are. And to those of you who are out there and who do use Facebook, that's fine for you. It's just this is completely a personal choice. You can email me at any time, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I probably get more emails than I get Facebook messages anyway. But we're all still reachable. It's so funny that I even wrestled with this idea, and then I'm wrestling with the idea of taking my personal page down off Facebook, too. I keep thinking to myself, what am I going to miss? What am I not thinking of? What is the real value of this Facebook thing that somehow, if I exit this on a personal level, what will I miss? The funny thing is, nothing. Now, I have found friends. As I said, I got a trip to the Bahamas off finding an old friend on Facebook. I'll tell you what, I'll use somebody else's Facebook page and search a name at some point if I need to. But it's really funny. Even when news spreads, you know, as you get into middle age, people die unexpectedly. It's a sad part of getting older. The last friend of mine that passed away unexpectedly in a car accident, I got the first phone call 20 minutes after the accident itself. There was a chain of people calling each other. It was such a shocking thing. The wreck had not even been cleared, and news of this guy's death was out there. So I think I'll miss nothing on Facebook. And I have to somehow do a goodbye letter to make sure it's not condescending, that I'm not telling people that I have communicated with on Facebook and some great people in my friends list. And to be honest with you, some people I can't quite place, but they've asked me to be their friends and I've done it. But a lot of good people out there, people I want to keep up with. And I'll put out a message that says, here's my email. Here's my phone number. If you want to go get lunch or you want to call and chat and tell me what's going on, or if you want to email me pictures of your kids or something interesting, I am always here. I love friends. I really do like people. But Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, social media has become anti-social media, in my opinion. And I just don't want to play it. Okay.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You want to join the show today, 601-879-0002. I am kind of curious. Anybody think I'm missing something? So I'm getting off of Facebook. I dipped a toe into Twitter and found it annoying, tedious, cluttered, manic. It was too much for me. I got nothing out of it, so I closed my Twitter account. I've never done Snapchat, Instagram. So I've closed down the Mike Madison Facebook page. It did disseminate. There was an easy flow platform to take my podcast, which you can go to WYAB.com and find. Scroll down. You'll see my show page. You can go to that and go to Podbean. It's themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can subscribe there. You can get my podcast on Apple Podcasts. I guess you can get it on iTunes too. So these things are still out there. But what am I missing? Is there something, is there a reason that people are clinging to Facebook? Now, this may come off as sexist to a degree, maybe to a big degree. I don't know. Facebook feels like a girl thing to me. It feels like a girl and kid thing to me the more I saw it. Now, that's not to denigrate women in any way or men that are on Facebook. I know Facebook is kind of the public square for people, and people use it that way, but that's why I'm not on it. I get 2 hours a day here, so I'm being hypocritical if I said, well, I don't care about getting my views out there. I mean, people want to be heard on things. Maybe Facebook is that public square where you can be heard. Maybe Twitter is on that public square where you can be heard. The thing is, it's creating this culture of hate. I did stories yesterday, you know, I've been wrestling with this decision for a while, and I look at myself and I say, man, I'm a middle-aged man. Why am I wrestling like this is of some great consequence? Can I possibly come off of Facebook and survive? What will I miss? I can't believe I really wrestled with it that long, but yesterday I'm doing these stories, study after study after study, showing that kids are getting more depressed with social media, that parents are getting more anxious and depressed, people are resenting people. We've got this tribalism. This is one of the things that kind of tipped me over the edge too, which, again, it shouldn't have even really been a big decision, but this past weekend I was waiting on somebody. I had just a few minutes. I was bored, to be honest with you, and so I clicked on Facebook and went to my whatever it is, my feed or my homepage or whatever, and just started scrolling through it. I wasted like 45 minutes and there was nothing there. A lot of people that I love, some couple of little kind of humorous things were on there. Everybody's championing their causes. I could see, because I'm somebody who does not alienate myself from another human being because we disagree politically. I know that that's weird now. You're not supposed to have friends on both sides. You're supposed to scream at each other and unfriend them and kick them out of the family. Thanksgiving dinners in just a few weeks from now, we'll be separated by politics. Meals will be ended in tears because you either love everything about Trump and you feel a personal moral responsibility to defend him to your last breath, or you hate him uncontrollably and you want to see him toppled, and anybody who dares express any support for this president is a Nazi and a racist. And I see my friends on conservatives post their conservative stuff, and then everybody comments on it where they make fun of everybody who doesn't believe this stuff. And then I've got liberal friends, some of them. One girl, I don't know what's happened to her. It's like she's snapped. She'll put out her left-wing drivel on her side, and then somebody might have a question. Just, you know, say, well, have you considered this or whatever? Unfriend. She gets rid of them. And then everybody piles in to make fun of that one poster that dared to go away from her left-wing narrative. They call them the most abysmal things. And I saw some of these things and I said, this is just insane. It's social media is this anonymous place where people are so courageous. They will say things to people online as keyboard warriors that they would never say in real life. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing that we're forced in personal interactions to have a little restraint. But no, that's not the world we live in now. Politics, anything having to do with the political world, it's blood sport on social media. And see, as I say again and again and again, I'm an observer of this stuff because I don't have a dog in that hunt. I just want to be left alone. I'm a libertarian for a whole bunch of reasons, and one of them is I realize I don't want to be controlled by either one of these sides. I don't want to be controlled at all. That's what conservatism used to be. It was shrink the government, get them to leave us alone, stop with all the taxes, stop with all the government growth. Now it's about what you want the government to do, even on the conservative side. You can point to the massively wasted money on the ridiculous war on drugs that has been an abject failure, and conservatives will say, we're not doing enough. Build more prisons. Execute people. I mean, it's just insane. Obviously, the left is about complete government control, as we will look at our look back at the week on the lunatic left, judging by their climate town hall yesterday. There's some pretty funny clips about that, too, really exposing CNN for what they actually are. If any leftist could think out their way out of a wet paper bag, they would notice exactly what's going on. But they won't, so I'll point it out here, just on the vain hope that possibly, you know, everything I do is I'm just hoping one line, one clip, one little thing I say just makes people go, huh, I didn't notice that. That's weird. I hadn't thought about that. But I know most people are closed off in Facebook and Twitter. That's where people are their worst. I've just about given a, I look at comment sections under stories just to kind of get a feel on where people are. I do a lot of stuff on here. I get some callers, I get emails, I get interaction with the WYAB audience. But you know, in a comment section, you can get in there and see what 1,500 people think in a heartbeat. I've almost stopped doing that. It's so predictable. And again, in comment sections on everything, oh, the name calling, things you'd never say to anybody in public. You are so tough when it comes to being on the keyboard, call people stupid and much worse than that. So what am I missing? Is there something that I'm going to miss on Facebook? Because obviously I'm going to be one of the few people that's off of it. Now, I know there are other people. Some of my best friends are kind of like me. They just don't get it. It's not really being judgmental of anybody who does use it. I'm not judging anybody. You might get something out of it. I just didn't. It was a bit of a swing and a miss to me. Valuable for finding some old friends. I got some chuckles off of some things that were posted, but as a net, it just didn't really, the balance of it, I just found myself not really even using it because I didn't do it. And then I do all these studies, I do all these, all reporting on all the things that social media are doing to society. I think, well, what am I doing? How bad of a hypocrite can I be that I continually report on this stuff, yet I participate? And I got to tell you, it's already gotten me a little bit lighter just thinking that Mark Zuckerberg is not benefiting in any way, shape, or form from my life because I find that guy to be creepy. Really creepy. Not sure he's human, but definitely a creepy guy. Now, I also understand that to really get away from this stuff, you know, people say Facebook and social media is like the Roach Motel. You can check out, but you can't ever leave. I'm going to have to do my research to see if they're still following me and tracking me and getting my information so that they can sell it. I'm not being paranoid. I'm not saying anybody's tracking me for nefarious reasons, but they are harvesting my data so that they can sell me products, and that's where Facebook makes their money. You are the product. You think they gave you this free platform. No. And I got to tell you, I would imagine next time I go to buy a gun, I may be red flagged for not having a social media account. That may be a warning sign if I'm off of social media. What are you up to? What are you hiding? So I don't know. But if there's anything that I'm missing, because as I say, I know most people won't do this, and which is fine. I really want to make the point. I'm not being judgy of anybody who uses social media. You may make some connections. That may be how you reach your friends. If you get something from it and you think it's a net positive, then have at it. Then they have earned your data by providing you with the platform that you enjoy enough to give away your privacy, give away all the details of your life, give away all of your connections, give away all of your thoughts to whoever it is collecting all this information. They've earned that by giving you something that you enjoy. They didn't earn it from me. We're all very different people. There's products that I might buy. There's books that I'll read that you would never consider touching. Yeah, how boring. Well, that was my view on social media. Anyway, we come back. We're going to take a look at it. There's a couple of bizarre things in the news before I kind of get to the meat of a Friday show, which is False Flag Friday, and then also look back at the week on the lunatic left. Rand Paul, libertarian guy. You know what he cares about? You know what Rand Paul wastes his time doing? Those weirdo libertarians that Republicans think have just lost their minds. Well, Rand Paul, or libertarian-leaning Republican, is compiled another one of his pig books where he looks at $50 billion, $50 billion with a B, that's a bubba B, of wasted taxpayer dollars. And then Ivanka Trump also took a trip. You want to talk about wasted taxpayer dollars? We'll put these two stories together. Hopefully they'll make sense. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show. I am your host, Mike Madison, formerly of the Mike Madison Show on Facebook. I've closed my Facebook page now, and it's going to be interesting. You know, I run into a lot of people because I don't have never used the platform on a personal basis, and people ask me, hey, you don't do much on Facebook. Are you on Facebook? You know, those kinds of things. What I think I'm going to do, just to really see what the reaction is, I think I'm going to go through, before I close down my personal Facebook page, I think I'm going to go through and get people's addresses. I'm going to start writing them letters. You know, just chit-chat stuff. I'm going to write a letter, handwrite a letter on a piece of paper, put a stamp on it. You know, hey, what's going on? You know, just typical, the stuff you do on Facebook. We can't wait 16 seconds for a webpage to download. Maybe this will retool my you know, I'll ask some questions in the letter. So, you know, if you would, write me back. We'll see. I'll have conversations with people over the course of a week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks. God knows the post office needs the help. Maybe I'll help help get them back in the black. Speaking of crazy, crazy expenditures of government agencies that cannot balance their books, Rand Paul, the libertarian-leaning Republican, libertarians are primarily Republicans. See, they have to. You got to run as a Republican. You got to go as one of the two major parties. There's only two parties, aren't there? Those libertarians, they got no chance to win. A bunch of crazy libertarians that trust people with freedom and stuff like that. You can't just be out there trusting people with their own lives. I'm kind of with you, Mike, on the smaller government stuff. And gosh golly, they do spend too much money. But we can't. I can't trust my neighbors. I mean, I'm perfectly capable of being free and running my own life. But the rest of the people out there, I think we need a lot of laws to tell them how to live, because most of these people can't be trusted with real freedom. That's kind of the argument against libertarian, if I could put it into a nutshell. But anyway, Rand Paul's fighting the fight. One of the best senators we've probably ever had. And luckily, he's become a big buddy of Donald Trump's, apparently. I think he's working from the inside there, although Trump is not embracing any of these libertarian ideas, which I will cover in just a second here. But Rand Paul is waging a battle against waste. In his latest waste report, the senator reveals how the government is adding to the $22 trillion national debt by subsidizing all manner of pointless activities, including $48 billion in improper Medicare and Medicaid payments. This is that time of the show where I ask everybody to pull out your paychecks. What is today? Today's like the 6th. It's no real day. Pull out your stub from the 1st. When you got paid on the 1st of the month, take it out. It's September. That number of federal withholding and Medicare and Medicaid, all those money, that money you send to D.C., it's getting pretty big by now. I mean, it's September. We're almost done with this year. Take a look at that figure and understand they didn't build a bridge. They didn't pay for some soldier's salary. No, that money was just whoosh. I need a toilet flushing sound effect for this show. All in all, Senator Paul totaled up $50 billion in wasted dollars. And he could have found a lot more had he scratched beneath the surface. Frog mating calls? let's go take a look at a couple of these. I really was going to kind of go in depth to it. This thing is not near as deep as I would have liked, but I guess it's just, you know, he probably has a little fun with it. Government's wasting money on including the State Department spending $100,000 in subsidies for the Pakistani film industry. The money will reportedly go to teach aspiring filmmakers how to write screenplays with a particular focus on themes of strength in diversity and women's empowerment. $100,000 to Pakistani filmmakers. Again, are you looking at your pay stub? Did you pull it up? Did you pull it out of your purse, out of your wallet? Where are you sitting? Just a few thousand dollars this year. The big bite really comes when you get a bonus. You know, for some reason, the government taxes a bonus at a different level because, heaven forbid, you achieve some level of excellence that they really need to stick it to you there. $100,000 went to the Pakistanis. You should be very proud. Next time you see a Pakistani film with a focus on diversity or women's empowerment, you had a hand in that. That should help you sleep at night. Let's see what else we got into. Yeah, the frog mating calls was a pretty good one. Here it is. The National Science Foundation, a government branch, also spent close to $500,000 studying the difference between frog mating calls in the city and in the forests of Panama. Now, this is a question that's been dogging all of us, isn't it? What exactly is the difference and the reason for the difference of the frog mating calls, both in the city and the forests of Panama? All of us want to know. Well, luckily, the National Science Foundation ponied up $500,000 of your money to study it. It found that city frogs in Panama do their mating call at a higher rate. Now, this should be easily explained by the hustle and bustle of the city, I'm sure. You know, it's kind of like slower-moving country, rural folks. We talk slower, move a little slower. The pace of life is a little slower. You get into the city, you got to go, go, go. $500,000 to study the mating calls of frogs. Now, government also spent a whopping $10 million on Peru's version of the Green New Deal. Yeah, we may beat back Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, and the rest of these nut jobs who are trying to remake the entire U.S. economy based on flawed, manipulated propaganda science, but
We're still getting to pay a little bit. $10 million for Peru's version of the Green New Deal. With the U.S. Agency for International Development. Huh, what does that stand for? U.S. A an agency, I an international, indeed. Oh, that's USAID. It's a CIA front, by the way. I mean, if anybody cares. USAID is committing the money, quote, to develop new and innovative alliances with the private sector that advance environmentally friendly economic development in Peru. That's $10 million. You can take, actually, your paycheck from this year and I'd ask you to go and look at your tax returns for the last, I don't know, that's one $10 million program for a Green New Deal. I would say you could look at every pay stub you've ever had, year ending, and take the total of every nickel you've sent to the federal government in taxes and Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, everything. And you haven't even really contributed that much to the $10 million sent to Peru for their Green New Deal. $2 million to promote democracy in Tunisia. Report notes that the U.S. State Department has spent more than $1.4 billion on such efforts since 2011 when things went to blank in that country. $1.4 billion to promote democracy in Tunisia. One of the most amusing examples is the much-beloved Department of Homeland Security. Oh, doesn't that make you feel safe? I lived at a time in the United States when we didn't have a Department of Homeland Security. Can you believe that, people? How vulnerable were we? We faced down the Soviets in the Cold War that lasted decades with another major superpower, and we didn't even have a Department of Homeland Security. But now we do, thank goodness. They've spent more than $2.1 billion on an effort to transform an abandoned D.C. mental hospital into its new headquarters. And the project is nowhere near completion. And there's more and more of these things. It kind of caused me to take an amusing little jaunt over to the U.S. debt clock this morning, and I bookmarked it in my notes today just to take a look. Now, I will warn you, if you are at all prone to seizures, do not open up the U.S. debt clock because the numbers are moving so fast it almost gives a flashing sensation. It can trigger a seizure, so you have to be very careful, kind of blur your eyes so you don't focus on any of these, the blinding speed that these numbers are accelerating at. Some of the good ones, U.S. national debt, $22,540,000,000, $541,700,000. I can't keep up after that because the numbers keep increasing so much. That's a debt per citizen of $68,374, a debt per taxpayer of $183,023. Now, what I thought was funny, where is the savings per person? Okay, we've got a debt of $183,000 per person, the savings for everybody. I can't find it. There's a lot of numbers on this site. It's pretty fascinating stuff. I think the savings per person was $12,000. People were a little underwater there. Now, I think this is an important website for people to go to. I know now it's just basically a novelty, and I can sit here and make fun of it because, well, I'm a middle-aged man. I may shed this mortal coil long before the consequences of this is really seriously. This is a problem for the fetuses out there. So to me, it's just kind of a big joke. But I did notice this morning as I was looking at this, I actually had the television on in the background. I have been really struggling to try to find a morning show to watch. Does anybody know of any decent morning show to watch? Fox and Friends talks to people like they're in the eighth grade. I can't watch that. The big major networks, I usually go ABC, NBC, or CBS. They're all so horrible. I ended up this morning on the Today Show. And as I was looking at this webpage, as I was reading Rand Paul's Waste Book, where it was this maddening array of money that these politicians steal from you at the point of a gun. You understand that, right? Using the IRS, you don't pay, they'll come lock you up. They'd steal this money from you at the point of a gun, and then they send it to Peru for a Green New Deal, or they send it to Pakistani filmmakers, or they take $500,000 of that money and they study the mating calls of the Panamanian tree frog. And this kind of bugs me. So I'm looking at that, and then I'm looking at the debt clock, and I wasn't really paying attention to what was on the screen on the television, and a couple of words just seeped into my consciousness, and I looked up, and it was the Today Show talking about the fact that Meghan Markle, She's the Duchess of something now, I guess, because she married one of the royal kids. She's going to be coming to the U.S. Open. They spent 2 or 3 minutes on this. Savannah Guthrie was really pretty excited that Meghan Markle was going to be making the trip over to the U.S. Open. That's news in the United States. I didn't hear him talking about Rand Paul's waste book. I didn't hear him talking about that at all. But when I come back, I'm going to show you. It's not just wasting money on tree frog mating calls. It's not just wasting money on Pakistani filmmakers. It is the arrogance of people in Washington, D.C., even in this current administration. I hate to say it. I'm going to give you some red meat later. I'm going to really make fun of the Democrats later, so hang in there with me. Ivanka Trump made a trip just yesterday, a couple of days ago, to meet with Venezuelan migrants. And she took her checkbook with her. I'll tell you how much you're ponying up for Venezuelan migrants that our foreign policy has largely created. I'll be right back with that.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone, God takes your soul.
Well, I'm just having a lot of fun during the break looking at the U.S. debt clock. It's got a ton of different categories. If you've never been to it, it's called usdebtclock.org. And all it is just a single landing page with, as I say, trigger alert. If you are prone to seizures, don't look directly at the screen when you first open it up. The numbers are flying by at such a dizzying speed that you risk some level of seizure looking at this thing. But it's got a ton of different categories. It's always, you know, very interesting. How about this one? The total interest paid on the debt, this is a cumulative, not just in a single year, but this is what we've paid just in interest on the debt that you and I didn't run up. 537 guys and gals, mental midgets in Washington, D.C., have overspent so much that we are on the hook through our tax dollars to pay the interest on the money that they overspent. You can imagine how you would feel if, like, I don't know, say your homeowners association was just spending wildly and you had no control over it and they bought whatever the hell they wanted and then they just called you every year and said, hey, here's your portion. We're not paying down any of the principal of it. I mean, this neighborhood's going to go bust, but we do need to pay the interest, so we're going to need this from you every year. I don't know how long you'd put up with that in your own neighborhood, in your homeowners association, but apparently as a government, we're fine with it. No big deal. Current total of U.S. interest paid is $3,507,456,000,000, and then the numbers are going so fast I can't report on them. The interest per adult, again, here's kind of a funny thing. The amount of interest per U.S. adult, this is interest, you understand, not debt. I'm not talking about the debt. I'm just talking about the interest on the debt that you're ponying up for, $13,748. That's per adult. The savings per family, $12,305. Our savings don't even outpace what we've paid in interest per person, per adult on the debt. The total debt per citizen, total U.S. debt is reported, and I don't know, let me see, you might be able to hover on these things and does a breakdown. I'm not sure exactly what this number is. Total U.S. debt is $74,163,000,000. Who cares? That's $74 trillion. I don't know if this is including some level of unfunded liabilities, what it is. The total debt per citizen, $224,977. That makes the total debt per family, $877,040 per family. But did I mention that Meghan Markle is going to be going to the U.S. Open because apparently she and Serena Williams are friends? Because that made the news this morning on the Today Show. I've never heard them break down any of these numbers in the years and years. None of the mainstream media does. Here's a good one that you should like. I talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve here, but as to not bore people and chase them off with academic reality, I don't get to talk about them very often, and I've struggled with trying to make the Federal Reserve interesting to you. Federal Reserve shareholder profits. This is one of the few little squares on this board that's in the green. See, the Federal Reserve is owned by a group of private banks. Which banks, Mike? Well, we're not really sure. We're not really sure. Federal Reserve, a very opaque organization, never submits to an audit. They're in charge of our entire economy. They're in charge of the economy, the largest economy on planet Earth, but we haven't gotten around to auditing them yet. As a matter of fact, some people have tried, like Ron Paul, like Rand Paul, some of those whacked out libertarians like me. You know how everybody likes to criticize the libertarians. They've asked for an audit of this huge central bank that dictates economic policy for 329 million people, but a lot of pushback. And with politicians, they really don't want to get around to auditing the Federal Reserve, but this is an interesting statistic. Federal Reserve shareholder profits is a green box on this sea of red debt on usdebtclock.org. Federal Reserve shareholder profits are $77,877,567,900. It's about to be $568,000. They just made $1,000 as I was explaining that one little square for you. Federal Reserve shareholder profits, $77 billion. Most everything else is in the red. This is it's a pretty fascinating site. I could look and see. It's a whole show. I'll put it that way. There's so many different categories in there that people should become aware of that it's a whole other show. But I won't bother to do that. Friday is a good time, right? I try to keep Friday shows light and airy, at least towards the end. When we come back, I didn't get to it now. Ivanka Trump made a trip to Venezuela. So I'm trying to retitle maybe my segment on Friday from False Flag Fridays. I've done all the history of false flags, and I will revert to that because another false flag will happen. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a month, maybe in 6 months. They will happen again, and I will be the only person on conservative radio to report those things to you. But it's like maybe I should just do a foreign policy fails. As I said, I like alliteration, you know, with the F in Friday, so I do False Flag Friday. There's lots of F words that I could use when it comes to our foreign policy that are forbidden by the FCC, so I can't use those if you have a good title for this. So we'll go with something like Foreign Policy Failures. Or the freaks who run our Foreign Policy Friday. Something along those lines. I'm noodling around with it. I'm playing with it. But we'll get back. Ivanka Trump made a trip to Venezuela to meet with the migrants. She took our checkbook with her.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. Home stretch to the weekend, and I do a segment called False Flag Friday. As I say, I'm trying to noodle around with a different way of saying it, because today's really more about just an absurd foreign policy in this country. I could do five shows a week on foreign policy alone, but I don't think people really have the patience or the interest in those things, because they love the propaganda. The idea that all we do, we just spread democracy around the world. The evidence right in front of our faces makes it obvious that's not the case. and we're bankrupting ourselves with endless military spending. I speak to a conservative audience who loudly cheers every time a defense budget is increased, even though the companies that are beneficiaries of these giant contracts are actually globalist corporations. It's one of the kind of dirty little secrets about the right. We are fighting the globalists with one hand, and on the other hand, we're handing them cash. But I try to point out these things. I'm going to take one quick diversion, though, because I just ran across this story. Get this. Larger context of this show, it is to really point out and try to dissolve this illusion that our institutions at the federal level are serving us. Because here's what people think. They think that, you know, if you're a Democrat, you think the State Department is bad and everything is bad unless Barack Obama is running it. Or the flip side is also true. Yeah, we point to the Obama holdovers doing things. But now that Trump's in charge of foreign policy, then war with Iran should be on the table. If Hillary Clinton had been aggressive with Iran, conservatives would be furious. But because Donald Trump is aggressive with Iran, we're okay with that. You understand? It's viewing everything through partisan lens. And my point is, the big issues do not change regardless of which party is in control. This is what I woke up to. Should you doubt what I am saying to you, let me share this story that I just ran across that Forbes is running today. Own a rifle? Got a scope to go with it? The government might soon know who you are, where you live, and how to reach you. That's because Apple and Google have been ordered by the U.S. government to hand over names, phone numbers, and other identifying data of at least 10,000 users of a single gun scope app, Forbes has discovered. It's an unprecedented move. Never before has a case been disclosed in which American investigators demanded personal data of users of a single app from Apple and Google. Oh, they're going to break this precedent to go against gun owners. And never has an order been made public where the feds have asked Silicon Valley giants for info on so many thousands of people in one go. According to a court order filed by the Department of Justice, on 5th of September, investigators want information on users of Obsidian 4, a tool used to control rifle scopes made by Night Vision Specialist American Technologies Network Corp. App allows gun owners to get a live stream, take video, and calibrate their gun scope from an Android or iPhone device. The federal government has just demanded that your name, phone number, an address be released to them. I'm sure they're investigating something. Don't worry, people. It may sound bad, but I'm sure it is all just about keeping us safe. I want to do this one story because this may make people mad. It's this administration. As I say, this is a kind of it's foreign policy stuff. Ivanka Trump met with Venezuelan migrants and opposition leaders on Wednesday as the U.S. government announced a new aid package of $120 million for people leaving the crisis-wrecked South American nation. U.S. President Donald Trump's daughter and a special advisor are on a five-day tour of South America aimed at promoting a White House initiative for the economic empowerment of women. But she turned her attention to Venezuela's political crisis during a brief stop at the Colombian border town of Cucuta, which has been flooded with people fleeing Venezuela. Isn't that interesting? It's citizens like out of a toothpaste, because Americans have stomped on Venezuela, and of course, socialism was going to fail. At some point, it was going to fail, but we didn't have the patience for that. We have blockaded them. We have sanctioned them. We have cut them off from world trade. We have taken the one resource, even though if they were managing it badly, we told them, you cannot trade your largest resource, oil, there. That dirty crude. Nope, not going to happen. And now, Ivanka Trump takes the American checkbook with her and gives $120 million to people, the victims of the crisis that we helped create. USAID Administrator Mark Green. There's that USAID again. Second time I brought it up today. This is a USAID, well known to be this benevolent organization that is really just a CIA front. When the CIA wants to get in anywhere, they go under the auspices of this USAID. USAID Administrator Mark Green accompanied Trump on her visit to Cucuta and announced $120 million in funding for programs that help Venezuelan migrants and refugees arriving in South American countries. Green said that the new funds will be used to provide health care services and nutrition to vulnerable migrants, bringing U.S. funding for programs that help Venezuelan migrants to a total of $317 million over the last 2 years. Look, I have a microphone for 2 hours a day. The Venezuelan migrants that have been forced out of their country by crippling U.S. sanctions are not able to reach you. So let me just tell you, on behalf of these Venezuelan migrants, thank you, America. Thank you for your $317 million. I mean, I'm sure they would like to thank us. Doesn't it make you feel good to know you've contributed to that? Quote, we know that humanitarian assistance is a treatment, not a cure, for the large exodus of Venezuelans, Green said. Quote, the cure comes from restoring liberty, dignity, and democracy in Venezuela. And all we have to do to restore this liberty, dignity, and democracy in Venezuela is to overthrow their leadership through crippling sanctions. And since we just moved 600 troops into Guyana on the border with Venezuela, probably some level of military intervention. So on behalf of Venezuelan migrants that were forced to flee their homes, largely because of oppressive American sanctions, I want to say thank you, American taxpayer, for the $317 million that was confiscated from you at the point of the gun by the IRS, thrown into a treasury, and then Ivanka Trump took over a check for $120 million. And look, you know who got the credit for it? Ivanka Trump. This was kind of a funny one. The headline of this is what attracted me to the story. U.S. now cribbing Iran policy from Nigerian email scammers. The Financial Times details a U.S. government Iran policy that's been reduced to top officials desperately sending emails which open like phishing scams. This is from the Financial Times. 4 days before the U.S. imposed sanctions on an Iranian tanker suspected of shipping oil to Syria. You see, we have decided that the Iranians cannot send, they cannot pull oil out of the ground that they have and load it into their ships and take it to another country because we said so. So we imposed sanctions on Iranian tankers suspected of shipping oil to Syria. The vessel's Indian captain received an unusual email from the top Iran official at the Department of State. Quote, this is just, we are run by psychopath people and they're not very smart. Quote, this is Brian Hook. I work for Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and serve as the U.S. representative for Iran. Mr. Hook wrote to Akhilesh Kumar on August 26, according to several emails seen by the Financial Times. Now listen to this. Quote, I am writing with good news. The good news was that the Trump administration was offering Mr. Kumar several million dollars to pilot the ship, until recently known as the Grace One, to a country that would impound the vessel on behalf of the U.S. To make sure Mr. Kumar did not mistake the email for a scam, it included an official State Department phone number. And I like the sarcastic tone that this Zero Hedge article takes. Yes, the U.S. is literally bribing ship captains to act as pirates on Washington's behalf, with an email now being widely mocked online as sounding like a classic Nigerian prince email scam. This is Brian Hook. I work for Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and serve as U.S. representative for Iran. I am writing with good news. And then they offer to bribe this guy with millions of whose money? Anyone? Anyone? Your money. They're going to take millions of your dollars. They're going to give it to an Indian captain of an oil ship because nobody will play ball and nobody will steal this ship for us. And so we're just going to email the captain and offer him millions of taxpayer dollars to just give us the ship. Come on, seriously, man. We'll give you a few million dollars. That Brian Hook. He's writing with good news, I'll bet. I'll bet. This is where we have come to. I don't know where to go with this stuff anymore. I got to tell you, if I've not made my case over the last couple of years on exactly what we're doing around the world, because I haven't. I mean, I know I don't reach a ton of people, so it's not like I can read a comment section on Breitbart and think that somebody there will have woken up based on anything that I've said. But I run into people who listen to the show. And I still hear things like, we're rebuilding the American military. Finally, we've got a commander-in-chief that's rebuilding the military. None of them can explain how the military fell apart when they were still receiving trillions and trillions of dollars over the course of, you know, the 5 years prior to Donald Trump taking office. But they buy that rebuilding the military. No, what you're doing is you're bribing Indian captains of oil tankers. What you're doing is you're sending Ivanka Trump down to Venezuela with a $120 million check. I wonder if she did like one of the big checks where she posed with it, with maybe a couple of really pathetic-looking Venezuelans who had to flee their home because the U.S. has absolutely crushed that country financially. And yes, they're socialists. They would have failed on their own. They were already having problems. They would have gotten there. Their people might have actually revolted. You know why the Venezuelan people have not revolted? Because they don't want the U.S. to pick their president. It actually probably brought them together. You know, when you're in a crisis, when you're all in a crisis together, it's company, family, or something like that, man, people start pointing fingers. They start getting angry within that. But if you're attacked from an outside force, that little dysfunctional group will kind of coalesce around each other. They'll kind of come together because now they're being attacked externally, and that's what's happened in Venezuela. This stuff is so easy to see that I question the intelligence of the American people officially here. I don't like to be judgy. I don't want to be pompous. I'm not condescending. I'm not saying I'm smarter than anybody else. It doesn't take any intelligence to see what we're doing. What are we doing picking a new president for Venezuela? What are we doing deciding who Iran can ship oil to? Well, Mike, they're the largest sponsor of terror. Are you kidding me? All of the terrorism we've had problems with in the Middle East has been with Sunni terrorism. I'm assuming you don't know the difference. Iran is a Shia nation and backs groups like Hezbollah. But to my knowledge, Hezbollah didn't take down the World Trade Centers. Saudi Arabia did. We haven't been fighting Hezbollah in the Middle East. We've been fighting Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, and ISIS. Those are all Sunni groups, actually enemies of Iran. Iran doesn't like the terrorists that supposedly have scared us so bad that we've given up our civil liberties. Am I making this simple enough? Is it getting through to anybody? The insanity of exactly what we're doing. And now that our guy's in charge, we're down with it. It's so funny to me that we can say, well, you know, when Bush, you know, we cheerled the wars, Fox News picked us up, slapped a flag lapel pin on our jackets, and we were off to the races. But at least we kind of caught on after a while. We're like, this war is kind of taking a long time and doesn't really seem to be solving anything. And then Trump comes along and he calls out the Bush administration. And people are like, yep, Trump's right. Bush got us into a war. And we've turned our back on Bush. And I looked at that election and I went, oh my gosh, people are finally getting this. They're finally understanding that 18-year wars and bankrupting wars that destroy our kids and put us further into debt that don't have any demonstrable benefit to the United States are a bad idea. I thought this during the campaign. But now the Trump administration is pursuing the same kind of boss everybody around policies, sanction everybody to death, try to overthrow governments, and now we're all fine with it again. Let me make a prediction. 10 years from now, when we're bogged down in Venezuela or we've had a horrible war with Iran at some point, people will look back on that and go, oh, that was a bad idea. Why don't we say it's a bad idea now before it happens? What if we got out ahead of some of these things rather than looking back after, I don't know, thousands of U.S. troops are killed, hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops are deployed away from families and friends and come back with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries and missing limbs. Why don't we get out ahead of that? I think that's just asking too much. We don't skate to where the puck is going. We go to where it is, and we go where we're told. The last one little thing I'll do is a recent Bloomberg article titled, U.S. Unleashes Military to Fight Fake News Disinformation. Reports that the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, which I think I'm saying almost daily now, they've been so much in the news, is funding a new project called the Semantic Forensics Program, in which the military research agency hopes it can spot fake news with malicious intent before going viral. If successful, the system, after 4 years of trials, may expand to detect malicious intent and prevent viral fake news videos, fake news from polarizing society. That's right. DARPA and your military is going to be in charge of telling you what is real and what is not. Luckily, I've got this microphone for a little bit of time, and they can't squish the stories before they go. Caitlin Johnson, the person who wrote this article, she had just a kind of, I don't know, it was a kind of a poignant little thing, and then I'm going to move on. Power is being able to control what happens. Absolute power is being able to control what people think about what happens. If you can control what happens, you have the power until the public gets sick of your bleep bleep and tosses you out on your butt. But if you can control what people think about what happens, you can have power forever. As long as you can control how people are interpreting circumstances and events, there's no limit to the evils you can get away with. And that's what it is. Your perception is that America is providing some level of leadership to the world. You feel that I'm anti-patriotic, anti-American to even be bringing these things up, to call out. You think I'm anti-troop. I don't support the troops. No, you know what I do? I support bringing the troops home, letting them spend time in productive ways, contributing to our economy by working a job as they come home to their wife and their children, but ready at a moment's notice should the United States be attacked in any way, shape, or form. Being so proficient and so well-trained and so professional that we have the brightest, shiniest, most capable military on the planet so that people understand America's one country you don't want to mess with. That's how I support the troops. I don't support sending the 600 to Guyana that we sent just a couple of days ago to build community centers. I did this story a couple of days ago. But they have so twisted, they have already, the propaganda is always about your perception of what is happening around the world, is that we are the white-headed cowboy out there, when actually what you're doing is you're just lining the pockets of war profiteers and you're putting our kids at risk to do it. But they've managed the perception so well that my views are unpopular. They're common sense, yes, but they're unpopular. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, I promise I'm about to move on to looking at the lunatic left and having a couple of laughs at their expense, so I promise I'm getting to that in just a second. The foreign policy stuff, I just plain old makes me mad, and I don't know why the American people won't wake up to it. You think you know about American foreign policy. You think that we're the white-hatted cowboy riding around the world to the rescue of everybody, and that's because the warmongers tell you that because they got to make a bunch of money, and they probably know the American people don't really want to see a lot of death and destruction, so they sell it to you. Just like the story I just read from Forbes, they're going to go out there, and the federal government right now is demanding the personal information on 10,000 app users who've got an app attached to their phone that connects to their rifle sites. So they'll just tell you, we're doing it to keep you safe. Part of an ongoing investigation. We can't have a bunch of people out there who can film live through the scope of their rifle. Here is what, this is an old clip. I'm going to play it real quick, just a couple of minutes. This is a guy from the State Department. His name is Richard Stengel. Let me tell you what the government thinks about you. And when they tell you things, this is what's behind what they tell you. They tell you what they want you to. As I did earlier, they've got this new DARPA program that's going to manage, it's going to crush fake news so that they can just tell you the truth. This is what the government does. Listen to this. Listen to the arrogance of this guy. He's with the State Department. His name is Richard Stengel. He's not there anymore. This clip is a couple of years old, but it doesn't matter. This is still going on.
You'll be the last question, but I just want to weigh in on that for 1 second. So there's another word for master narratives. It's called history. Basically, every country creates their own narrative story. And you know, my old job at the State Department was what people used to joke as the chief propagandist job.
That really is funny, isn't it? The State Department, we had a chief propagandist in the State Department. That really is funny. I remember back in the 1980s where we laughed at things like the Pravda newspaper in the Soviet Union, and we talked openly about how, God, can you believe the Soviet government just does propaganda to their people? We used to laugh at that. Now we embrace it.
We haven't talked about propaganda. Propaganda, I'm not against propaganda. Every country does it. And they have to do it to their own population. And I don't necessarily think it's that awful. And this idea news cartel, I mean, I was editor of Time in 2012 during that election.
I don't want to listen to him anymore, to be honest with you. He was also the editor of Time. So Time magazine, now he's with the State Department. You're starting to see how this works. What you've been told about foreign policy is pure propaganda. Absolute propaganda. American people should be smarter than this. Unfortunately, we're just not. But when it comes to talking about dumb people, we'll move on now to the look back at the lunatic left. The last week had some real juicy nuggets for us to dig into when I come back. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Every Friday, we try to take it out on a high note, get a few giggles at the media and what the lunatic left has been up to this past week. The gift that keeps on giving to conservative radio talk show hosts across the land has been the climate debate. Did I understand this correctly? This thing was 7 hours of climate debate with these nut jobs. Anyway, I have said often, I find the patheticness of the left-wing voter to be very depressing. It shouldn't be like that. You're capable. Like I said, you bought your own TV, didn't you? Did you get to work today? Did you dress yourself? See? You can do it. You can do it, buddy. The left thinks they need to control absolutely everything because none of us can be trusted to run this planet in a responsible manner. And they're ready to tell you what you can and can't have like a bunch of four-year-olds.
Would you support changing the dietary guidelines? The food pyramid. But people to reduce red meat specifically.
Yes, I would.
Do you ban plastic straws?
I think we should. Yes.
So would you ban offshore drilling?
Yes.
Just today, the Trump administration announced plans to overturn requirements on energy-saving light bulbs. Would you reinstate those requirements?
If you can get electricity from a light bulb that utilizes one-tenth of the power that an old incandescent light bulb used, of course you're going to do that.
We have to take combustion engine vehicles off the road as rapidly as we can.
Educating everyone on the need to curb population growth seems a reasonable...
Yeah, it is just stunning as I'm watching these presidential candidates, and we all know they are crisscrossing the nation right now in jets, in commercial planes, in SUVs, with entourages and everything. I know it doesn't need to be said. It's just so strikingly funny. You stupid leftist voters, how do you listen to this drivel out of this batch of hypocrites?
Campaign to enact. Would you be courageous enough to discuss this issue and make it a key feature of a plan to address climate catastrophe?
Well, Martha, the answer is yes. I think especially in poor countries around the world, where women do not necessarily want to have large numbers of babies and where they can have the opportunity through birth control to control the number of kids they have, something I very, very strongly support.
Let's talk about offshore drilling for oil. Would you ban it?
Yes.
Would you ban offshore drilling? Absolutely yes. We will transition off of fossil fuels, natural gas, coal, oil.
What about the export of fossil fuels from the United States? Would you ban that?
Absolutely, we must get to that point.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
I'm in favor of a carbon-free America.
In my administration, we're not going to build any new nuclear power plants.
We should set out the rules for what kind of plant, you know, coal burning plants. No one's going to build another coal burning. We've got to shut the ones down we have.
We're going to end factory farming because that is not only that is a danger to the environment and to climate change. You know, there will be a transition. There will be a transition and there will be some pain there.
So there you go. No more factory farming, no more meat, no more plastic straws, no more fossil fuels. Now, here's the funny part of it. This was CNN during the commercial breaks of this fine broadcast as they told us what we can and cannot do. This is actually a commercial break during the debate.
To Priceline working with top airlines to turn their unsold seats into amazing deals. Family reunion attendance is up.
We're all related.
Yeah, I see it. And because Priceline offers great deals by comparing thousands of prices in real time, sports fans are seeing more away games.
Yeah!
Is that safe?
Oh, yeah.
Not at all.
No, ma'am.
Nope. And more people than ever are enjoying romantic getaways.
That's gross.
Priceline. Every trip is a big deal.
Introducing Inspirato Pass, the world's first luxury travel subscription. Enjoy endless travel for $2,500 per month.
It gets
with
better.
No
Hold
nightly
on.
Rates, taxes, or fees. Browse thousands of luxury trips and custom experiences in hundreds of destinations around the world, all at an extraordinary value. Never pay a nightly rate again. Inspirato Pass. Look, book, stay, repeat.
Golden Corral's juicy endless sirloin and saucy St. Louis style ribs really put the meat in Meet Me in St. Louis. Endless sirloin and St. Louis style ribs. Golden Corral, the only one.
The capitalist pig CNN. Two travel sites booking commercial airfare followed up by a Golden Corral beefy sirloin and ribs ad. That is what came on. That's an actual commercial break from during the Democratic debate. Again, I got to tell you, leftists, come on. Come on. You're smarter than this. You've got to be. Because everybody is. Now, when it comes to the meat issue, the left does offer some solutions. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a fan of factory farming. These CAFOs, these really big ones, they're not good environment. I don't think they produce healthy products. So I'm willing to look at that. I don't want the government to ban it. I want people to be smart enough to choose better food to eat because I believe in freedom. But anyway, they do offer solutions. Now, I got to tell you, first of all, I encourage the Democrats to boycott meat because that will drive down prices for the rest of us who still like to eat meat. When demand shrinks up, supply goes up, prices come down. So I encourage all of you out there on the left-leaning side, abandon meat immediately. But if you don't, they've got another solution. A Swedish behavioral scientist has suggested it may be necessary to turn to cannibalism and start eating humans in order to save the planet. Appearing on Swedish television to talk about an event based around the, quote, food of the future, Magnus Söderlund said he would be holding seminars on the necessity of consuming human flesh in order to stop climate change. Söderlund also acknowledged that people are, quote, slightly conservative, unquote, when it comes to eating things they are not accustomed to, such as cadavers. So move over, pork. I am the new white meat. Let's see what else we've got. Elizabeth Warren, this was pretty funny to me. Just out of kind of, I don't know if they did this on purpose or not. Let me see how this clip is too long. I'm just going to start it out, particularly when we get to the Elizabeth Warren's pandering cadence is, I can't believe it fools anybody. Haven't you ever seen somebody that people just love? I mean, sometimes I feel like this about comedians. I just watch them and I go, what is everybody laughing at? I don't get it. Well, this is Elizabeth Warren to me, who, again, it's the end. I'm going to take this full. This is a callback to the beginning of the show where I read the article about them, that there's no more American adults anymore. We're all just children. And Elizabeth Warren treats her followers like children. She even kind of talks slow and soft to them. But she was asked a question, and I thought it was pretty funny who they had ask this particular scripted question.
Jean Tel Comerdel. She's from a narrow island of land in Louisiana known as Isle de Jean Charles. It's rapidly disappearing because of rising sea levels and coastal erosion. Chantel, thank you very much for being with us. What's your question, Chantel?
Thank you. So, as he said, I'm from the island of Jean Charles, Biloxi, Chittimacha, Choctaw tribe.
She's a Choctaw. They had an Indian come up and ask Elizabeth Warren a question.
We've been dubbed as many as the first American climate refugees. Uh-huh. We had a front row seat to climate change for the past 20 years. I had to move my home from my island home when I was little due to mold-induced asthma and from repeat flooding. So my question to you is, if president, what changes would you make to support communities like mine who face community-wide displacement and cultural erasure?
Yeah. So let me start by saying how very sorry I am.
Oh.
It's got to be hard to watch your homelands disappear like this and know that you've done everything you can do, but that the forces bigger than you have taken over.
Oh, you're helpless.
And so I see it this way. When I think about climate, it is the existential threat.
And this is, she goes on and on. Yes, that is the Democratic message. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. But you understand you're helpless, right? Now me, you elect me and a bunch of people like me, we can help you. You're helpless. Pretty sad that you're so pathetic and tiny that you can't control anything. I've also did the tiniest bit of research, but it was verbal. I haven't verified this, that this particular island, the problem has been the New Orleans levees. Have altered the water around it. It has nothing to do with climate change. Actually, it has to do with the topography of what they've done with levees around New Orleans that have actually affected this island, but we don't want to get swamped in the facts. I got a pretty funny one from, I need to queue it up. I don't have it queued up. Beto O'Rourke gives an alarming statistic that we should all be concerned with, and I got to tell you, maybe I should switch my registration to vote for one of these Democrats. I didn't know the situation was so dire.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment. This always flies by. I may have to start giving more time to this because apparently CNN has got soon coming up an extended town hall on LGBTQ issues as well. So I'm sure that will provide some more clips because, again, that community in the left's eyes is also equally helpless and can only thrive with the heavy hand of government backing them up. They could never make their way through this world without the help of Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or the rest of the nut jobs there. I want to remind everybody real quick this weekend, pizza time. If you want to go out and get some good food, always remember Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out there by Germantown High School. If you can't make it out there to see them, well, you should. It's a nice restaurant. Good food, good staff, owned by a veteran. It hits all the checkpoints. But if you can't get out there, you can also get their food on the Waiter app. Just get the Waiter app and download it. Look for Your Pie, and you can have it delivered. They've got pizzas, paninis, salads, and now they have pasta as well. That was fantastic. My son tried that last time we were out there, so the pastas are great too. They've got craft beers. They've got televisions if you want to catch a football game. Great family atmosphere, or just the guys watching the game, or girls too. I was almost sexist. Or women, you want to go out and watch a football game, you can do it there. They've even got a great deck out there. So that's Your Pie out in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Go check them out. Fantastic food. Pete Buttigieg. Am I saying his name right? I should give him a funny name like everybody else does, but I'm a little lazy about that. I had no idea that the climate situation was quite so dire. This is a statistic I had not heard before.
And I think, you know, when we're on the campaign trail now and more the questions I get from kids are about climate. They're almost always either about gun violence or about climate.
You got to love the fact that not just here, I played a clip last week from Canada where they're trying to lower the voting age down to 8, that the left is seeking the wise counsel of prepubescent children to drive public policy. This is now influencing major policy decisions are resting on the mental capacity of 6 and 7 year olds.
These are personal questions. They're asking about whether they're going to be able to thrive. Again, it's why I think this isn't just saving the planet. This is saving the future for specific people who are alive right now. I also, frankly, think of it a little more selfishly, because when we're talking about whether we hit this target of 2050, decarbonizing our economy, you know, Lord willing, I plan to be here. I would be in my 60s. By the time we know whether we have succeeded and can look back at 2020 and be proud of what we did to begin getting on the right track, or realize that we're the ones who blew it, these are the years. You know, we talk about 2030 as a deadline. But in many ways, 2020 is the deadline, because if we're not underway by the time the new president takes office, we really have lost our last shot. It's why there is so much riding on this election. And
now here it comes. This is what I did not know about. This is alarming, and I'm considering changing voter registration.
For me and everybody I know, for the children that we hope to have, for the people who will be alive at the turn of the century, when if we don't change what we're doing, we could lose half the world's oxygen because of what's going on in the oceans.
Holy cow, half the world's oxygen. That was a new one to me. I did not hear about that. But, you know, what difference does it make at this point, to quote Hillary Clinton, what oxygen levels are going to be like at the turn of the next century if we're all going to be dead in 12 years anyway? There, some of this I don't quite follow the logic of. Here was a problem for him, and I think Pete Buttigieg and the NBC Today show that was commenting on Meghan Markle's coming to the U.S. Open to support her friend Serena Williams. She's coming on a last-minute flight. Here's a problem.
Harry is breaking a silence on using private jets to travel with Duchess Meghan and baby Archie. The eco-minded Harry responding to criticism while announcing a travel sustainability project in Amsterdam.
He says that no one is perfect and that we can all do better.
I came here by commercial. I spend 99% of my life traveling the world by commercial.
Do commercial jets not use fuel? Do commercial jets not have a carbon footprint? I'm not quite clear on that.
Occasionally, there needs to be an opportunity based on a unique circumstance to ensure that my family are safe. And it's generally as simple as that. But as I said in my speech,
Harry also says that he would take a private jet only when circumstances called for it and would offset the carbon footprint.
nothing else needs to be said about that. Here is a funny one. If you thought the media is not a real credible institution right now, if you look at some of the talking heads on the media and you think that these are not some of our sharpest people, I want you to listen to this quick clip. It's only 7 seconds. Tell me what is wrong with this clip.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. Micah, back to you.
I'll play it again. Did you catch this? Did you catch what's wrong with this?
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. Micah, back to you.
Just when you thought the media cannot be any dumber, that is KTLA, one of the biggest local news channels out there. Let's see. I've got all kinds of stories. I don't know if this guy is on the left. I just have to assume it at this point. A California man who rapped about killing his girlfriend has been charged with her murder, according to reports. On Wednesday, Robert Camus, 27, was indicted on capital murder charges after video footage showed him rapping about killing his girlfriend during an open mic night at the King Eddie Salon Saloon in Los Angeles. And he's not even good. If he had thrown out some mad rhymes, how's that for a middle-aged white guy? Is that still a saying? I think mad rhymes was back in the 80s when I first became aware of hip-hop. He's not even good, but it's going to land him in jail. A couple other things. There's a paper currently being promoted by New York University calls on society to consider the rampant sexual exploitation of dairy cows by the milk industry in order to fully fight gendered oppression. Well, that's right. This is kind of where the left is. We need some gender equality in the bovine world. At the same time, we need to start actually eating humans. It's a whirlwind. To those of you on the left, you've got to work with me a little bit here. You're throwing a lot at me really quick. You consider milking a cow to be sexual assault. It's hands off. But you do say that when my neighbor passes away, that's block party barbecue time. Probably not a leftist story, but it was kind of funny. I'll just notice this in passing. As there was a lawsuit against Donald Trump for a forcible kiss. The judge apparently furiously threw this out of court yesterday after viewing the video, and you can find this online, where Trump essentially gives what is the most mild, tame peck on the cheek to a supporter that I've ever seen. Anyway, the justice system works occasionally, just occasionally. Forcible kiss on video, easy to parse. That's all the time I've got today. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston, the rest of the WYAB programming. You can't find me on Facebook, but you'll find me here on Monday. See you later. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.